Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to be here, Brother Ball, and thank you for the kindness you've all shown me and shown my family here over the last few days. It's been a blessing being here. It was a blessing going out yesterday. I got some sun. That's good. It gives you a lot of energy, but it also tires me out too. So I'm glad you're here in spite of that. So I'll try and keep you awake. I'll talk a little bit more about Uruguay and how God worked in our hearts to bring us where we are. You saw in the video presentation there, Uruguay has already gone after what a lot of people in this world think will bring them happiness. There's issues like we have here with inappropriate relationships. They have them there, and they don't bring happiness. There's issues with drugs there, just like there's some issues like that here, and drugs and alcohol don't bring happiness. People there, you see the different lifestyles people lead there. Those things do not bring happiness, and the only thing that does is we had a verse on there as about going there and being missionaries. The only thing that will bring happiness is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody has the answer, but we know someone who does. And Lord Jesus Christ, He changes lives. And I so appreciate that. We know the Bible says, "Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible is the Jesus book. But for more than that, there's a few themes that encourage me from the Bible. One of them is forgiveness. That's through the Bible. Another one is change. God changes people. And I just, I appreciated going to the university. There's a lot of heady people, a lot of very intellectual and intelligent people, and they need Christ. And our faith is one that's rational and reasonable, and it can stand science and scrutiny. But what one thing that someone can't, we can debate with people about our faith, but one thing people can't argue with is a changed life. I know people who go to the church I go to because they know people who have changed 180 degrees, and the Lord Jesus Christ has done that. That's what Kamloops needs, that's what Winkler needs, where I'm from, and that's certainly what Uruguay needs, and that's the hope they need. To those of you who were there yesterday, I said hope is powerful, and it is. We have a sure hope in God's Word, and God changes things, and we need to believe that. So as we started to say there, God started working in my heart about missions in 2006, about serving Him as a missionary in South America. And we grew in our church until about 2009, until God gave us the opportunity to go to South America, to Argentina and Uruguay. We went there for 2 months. We were able to visit 30 different churches or ministries, and God really gave our family a burden for the people there. Not a clear direction as of yet, but just a bit of an inkling of God, what something God was going to do in our lives later on. I was able to see some souls saved while on that trip. Three folks accept the Lord while down there, and I just continued preparing, not knowing exactly what God would have for us, but knew God was interested in using me in some respect. God's interested in the same in your life. He's got a specific and perfect will for everyone here, and we need to be yielded for that. So as I just dwell on that for a little while, let's bow in prayer. Just ask the Lord to help this day. God, You sure are good, and I thank You right now for this church and the good people here and their kindness. And I pray, Lord, in gratitude for Your Word, and I pray as I give testimony, Lord, that You would work and just work through the words spoken and work through things that are going through folks' minds. And Lord, just have Your way in this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So while we were there on our initial survey trip there in 2009, we learned of the city of Salto, which is in the interior of the country. There's no Baptist churches that far into the country. There are some in the capital and along the coast, and one in a city called Colonia. But if you go inland, there's just no churches. There was a missionary who was there for about a year and a half and left under some not the greatest circumstances. But there's never been a fundamental work there. As far as I know, I could be wrong, there's not a gospel work of any stripe there. If you go further into the interior, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people without a gospel witness of any stripe. And so that burdened our hearts then, and it still burdens my heart. When We booked tickets to go to Salto. God just did something in my heart, and he was bringing that up in my mind. And I was just trying to be sensitive and listen to the Lord the best way I knew how. The word Salto isn't written anywhere in the Bible, but I was just praying, and I felt God was just telling me, you need to look a little further. I've got something for you there. So we booked plane tickets. I called every missionary, every pastor, any contact I had of any type, to see if there was anyone in Salto that was already in the city that, you know, of any type of person that would actually be a contact. I found no one, but we booked the tickets in any case for our family. And then a month before going down, one missionary pastor called me up and said, I know you're interested in going to Salto. Why don't you give this pastor from Argentina a call? He takes about an 8-hour bus trip, and he goes up to the city of Salto every once in a while. There's some believers there that he's preaching to. And that encouraged my heart that sometimes we need to do, well, all times we need to do things by faith, and then God will show us the reasons why afterwards. And that's exactly what I can give testimony in our life. I was excited about that and just saw that as the Lord leading and guiding. We bought the tickets. Be honest with you, felt kind of dumb doing it. Without knowing where I was going, how I was going to see anything. I'm going halfway around the world to a big city and not knowing a soul about how to get around. It's not quite as convenient as getting around Kamloops or Calgary or something like that. It's a little different. And so God just confirmed that we were good, and I was encouraged about that, that we were following him. I'm very humbled to be here, and I'm thankful to your pastor and you people for being so kind. When I first went down there, there was another pastor who was supposed to be there. There was a church, that pastor, Catani, in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. He was having an anniversary conference for his church. I think it was 28 years he's been at that church. He planted that church, and he was having some other preachers there. There was a fellow going there. His name is Tommy Ashcraft. As far as I know, he's the pastor of the biggest Spanish Fundamental Baptist church in the world. Well, he couldn't make it, and Pastor Catani asked me if I would preach. You ever felt a little bit inadequate? Yeah, me too. And so I had that privilege of preaching there, and I met some of those believers there. And I was so grateful to be able to meet those folks, and we went with them back to Uruguay. They took a bus. They were there for the weekend, wanted to hear some Bible preaching, and they went back. They took that 8-hour bus trip, and I went back with them, not knowing where I was going and not knowing these souls, but just grateful and following the Lord the best way I knew how and the way I thought he was leading, and he was leading. And we went to this place. These folks, small group of believers were pretty excited to hear Bible preaching. They wanted to get it every night, and so that's what we did. We preached there every night. For those of you who are familiar with the Latin American culture, newspapers and TV and radio have more of a public service sort of flavor. You can still buy advertising and they play music and all that thing, but they'll announce, you know, community get-togethers on the radio just as a public service. They'll say, you know, just like sometimes we may call in some bigger cities, they may call in speed traps. Well, they may call in the Latin American culture and say, you know, Jose is having a big get-together tonight. Come on down. And in some smaller towns, it's even worse than that. And they'll say, not in the city I'm going to, but I've heard of some places where they'll say, you know, Anna's asking Jake to bring home some bread. Don't forget. Our city's bigger than that, but the radio has that very folksy kind of atmosphere. Well, that was a blessing to us because they started announcing people. There's a Canadian preacher in town, and he can and we have a preacher here for some time. So we gathered a group of believers. The first Sunday we had 23 people there. The second Sunday I have conflicting reports of how many people were there. Those of you who understand what evangelical counting is, I heard 32. I don't know if that's what it was, but that's the best count I know. I didn't count it myself. And so there was a hunger there from some people. It's, you know what, I don't think we should be ever discouraged in the Lord's work and in the Lord's calling. There are some hard things in life. And sometimes people we meet, we don't know what's going on below the surface in someone's heart, and we don't know what God is doing, what God's Holy Spirit is doing in someone's heart. Who has been really happy when the Holy Spirit's convicted you of something? I haven't. I don't like that. You young people, nobody liked a spanking, right? Nobody was that kind of sick person. And so when the Lord Jesus, when the Holy Spirit convicts us and he shows us, you know, there's something wrong in your life, There's something you need to fix. Some people are very big on experiences. Really, our first experience with God, we could say, is a negative one. You know, salvation is great and salvation brings joy, but when God points out to us, "You're hopeless without me," that's not a good feeling. Of course, salvation brings those good feelings, but when we're dealing with people, sometimes they may react negatively. We should understand that and understand what may be happening below the surface. Maybe God is doing a work there. And so then even as we're thinking on the university campus or as we visit people, sometimes on the surface, it doesn't look like much is going on, but we need to be faithful. Some people say that Uruguay is a hard field. Some people say, I'm sure would say Kamloops is a hard field. You know, God is doing a work. I believe God's doing a work here. And God, I've seen God at work in Uruguay, and I've seen some souls saved. And I believe God just wants to work. He wants willing people. I don't know if there's people talk about easy fields and hard fields. I don't know that there's any easy fields. I heard testimony. You guys have had a missionary from the Middle East in years gone by. I've heard some in years gone by. I don't think that'd be an easy field. But I've heard of good fruit. And that encourages my soul. So we just need to be faithful and understand that God does a work. That's our job. It's one of faithfulness. So I was able to preach there. I was able to find out that Brother Neufeld's dad was actually, he lived in the city, my Earth's town. My dad was born in a place called Jung, Uruguay, which you'd never get to unless you're going there on purpose. It's the middle of nowhere. And if Uruguay is far enough, Jung is just a very rural place in the middle of nowhere. And my dad lived in Salto for a short time with my grandfather. I was able to go there. It's a town of over 100,000 people. It has been for a long time. And you know, I had connections with some people there It was uncanny. My family and I were able to see answered prayer just by uncanny connections with people. I went to a local store to get a few pieces of paper printed off for the church. And they asked me my last name, and then they started asking me a bunch of questions about who I was, and it turns out they remember my parents. Just talking to different people, you don't bump into people that you know where you've never lived in cities of over 100,000, and that happened several times. And so God really seemed to be saying to me, Marco, this is exactly where I want you. And you know, God will speak to each and every one of us. God speaks to us first and foremost through His Word. God's Spirit is never contrary to His Word. We never need to be afraid of this Bible. But sometimes God can give us a specific, something specific of His will for our life. And we need to be sensitive to that. And just as situations happen around us, and as God puts different people around us, we need to ask God, are you doing this? Lord, is this a coincidence that this person's passed my way? We need to be people who ask God questions. And God seemed to be giving me some answers in as far as my survey trip, which that was the purpose, to see how God would use me in the city of Salto. My dad hasn't been there for over 50 years, and so that's uncanny. And he wasn't born there. He grew there for a short while. And so some of the stories we heard there were quite encouraging. We prayed many specific things. My pastor, I don't know who Brother Vall, sometimes people accuse pastors of having a following. There's different colleges. Well, my pastor uses 3x5 cards, so I'm guilty of using 3x5 cards. We prayed for a lot of specific things, and you may think I'm nuts and probably a little right, but our family came up with 180 different items to pray for, and we just sorted them out, and some of them we just threw out and whittled it down to something manageable. We were able to see many specific items of prayer. We were able to say, God is in this. And that's encouraging. That's important not only for you, it's important for the people around you to see God answers prayer. You know, the Bible tells me that answered prayer gives us joy, and it does. And so we were able to see that. I'd like to see a church established there in Salto, and that's what I'd like. That's what we're looking to do. We prayed for a place to stay. Just some of the examples. We prayed for a place to stay. Salto they're a third world country, but hotels there are just as expensive there as they are here. So we prayed for a place to stay. God gave us a place to stay where we didn't have to pay to stay. We prayed that there would be a building. We'd be able to hold meetings. God gave us a building while we were there. We were able to hold meetings. God gave us a lot of specific and even things that were just enjoyable, that were nice to do. I had some incredible pizza. You know, God answers prayer, and then on top of that, He gives us the desires of our heart too. And so, we had a wonderful time. You know, serving the Lord. There's some people, I'll tell you, the world sometimes has a misconception of following the Lord. They think it's drudgery. The reason why is the natural mind and the carnal mind. The only thing it can understand is law. I had people I used to work with years ago, and they would ask me, "Does your church force you to give?" And I wasn't about to discuss tithing with a bunch of lost men, other than to say, no one's forced to do anything. People give because they want to give, and I believe in giving. We have to be giving people. But the only thing the world can understand is, they must force you, because who on earth would want to part with money unless they had to? And so God does a work in our heart, and He can make things that look like drudgery to the world a joy to us. And that's something we need to learn as Christians, because sometimes we can look at the world and think, wow, they've got it all together, and they must be happy, and they're not. And those of us who've tasted in the world know that the world's full of lies. But yet if we trust God, the world won't be able to understand it, but we can have true joy. And so we had that when we were down there. And God changes. God has a different will for you than for me. I can't put on Brother Vall's shoes and be him for a day, because he is the man for this place. And we can't necessarily copy what anyone else has done and expect to follow, you know, their will for their life to be God's will for my life as well, or God's will for his life to be God's will for my life as well. But we can be close to God and follow him, and through faith, he can give us joy. So, we had a lot of answered prayers, even the logistical things of how to bring things down. I was able to meet a saved man who could help us bring down material. I mean, it was, sometimes we think, you know, a month, we were there for a month this time. You think, a month's a long time. It doesn't seem like a long time when you look back on it and you're trying to organize things. And God just really providentially put a lot of the right people in our paths. I believe he's doing that in your life too. If we'd be sensitive and if we'd be asked specifically, God, would you have me encourage anyone this week? And I think he'd answer you. I know he would. You can ask God, would you have me talk to someone about your son this week? I think he'd answer you. I know he would. I know sometimes that's scary for us, but it just like salvation is scary for the natural mind, sometimes us asking God questions can be difficult for us. Because we think maybe God will ask me to do something I don't like. We need to stop thinking like that and think that God knows best. God loves you, and he wants the best for you. I think the person who made you knows not only what's best for you, but he wants to give you the best. He doesn't want to give you second best. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4. Just a few verses, verses 22 to 24. I said, I appreciate that the Bible is a book of change, and these are some verses that deal with change and how to change. Because we will, if we're seeking God, we'll be constantly conformed and growing, conformed in the image of Christ and growing. Verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our mind is the battlefield here in this world. We know as Christians that Christ has already defeated death. We know he's defeated hell. We know he's defeated even the power of sin in this world. And if we just yield to him and accept what he's given to us, and it's written clearly in his word, and as I said earlier, hope is one of those things, and it's powerful. In a lot of ways, it's the beginning to using a lot of other things that God's given us. Because if you don't believe God, then you can't use the tools that he's given you. And you can't use the promises that he's given you. And so our battlefield is really in our mind, and the devil will constantly fire things into it, and we just have to live a life of faith. I'll give you an example. I'm grateful I was able to go fishing. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Brother Vall. I used to go to work. I used to take the same road to go to work when I used to live up north, to go to where I worked for a living, as well as one of my favorite fishing holes. You know, my attitude was different whether I was going to work or whether it was going fishing. Anybody identify with that? Yep. I loved my job, but there's just something special about going fishing. And so Our minds are powerful. Taking the exact same trip, I had a very different attitude. And it's no different than with walking with God. I know some good people who've gone through hard things, and they have the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't understand that, and I wouldn't want hard things on myself, but I have to trust God and know the closest I've ever been with God, and the most assurance I've ever had from God, and the greatest joy I've had ever had in my life is when I believed God in spite of my circumstances. And that's what I'd like to do in the field of Uruguay, and that's what I encourage for you as well. Sometimes we don't understand the things that are going on in our life, but we need to know there is somebody who does. I don't have the answer for everyone's problems by any means, but I know who does, and we can trust God. He's a good God. I think I'll close with that. Brother Vall, would you like me to pray? Lord, I thank you so much. You are good to us, and I just bask in your goodness even right now, giving me the privilege to be here and giving us the privilege to be in your house. I thank you so much for this opportunity we have to hear from thee and just to be able to share with folks what God's done in my life and encourage folks that he has a perfect and specific will for every one of us. Lord, your scriptures say in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. And Lord, there are things in life we need to change, and I just pray that this day we'd have our hearts opened and our minds sensitive. And Lord, if there's anything you're bringing up in our minds even now, that we would just keep them in prayer and later today get them right with you, even now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, thank you for Brother Paulician. It was great to hear what the Lord's doing in their heart and in their life. As I mentioned before, we've known the Paulicians for quite some time. We're trying to piece it together as far as when that was. Sounds like it was maybe around 2002. Is that what you came up with? Yeah. So, and then we'd gone up to Fort McMurray once when their pastor was gone and filled the pulpit there, and we went out for lunch with your family. And I remember Brother Marco talking to the waitress, and he asked her as a bit of an entryway to give the gospel. He said, "When you think of Christians, how do you think of them? Do you find them? Do you feel like they're hypocritical?" Or I don't know if you remember that conversation, but anyway. He ended up witnessing to her, gave her a tract, and we had a good time together. And anyway, they've been faithful in their church, both there at Emmanuel Baptist and then at Pembina, and taking the courses there. So it's exciting to hear how God worked in their heart and their life. We know God doesn't always work the same in every person's life. He uses different means to speak to them. Of course, it's the same Bible, the same truth, the same doctrines, but he personalizes the way he communicates with us to a certain degree. So.